We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former NFL quarterback, brother of another former NFL quarterback, Derek Carr. David Carr is with us now with NFL Network. David, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it, guys. I'm doing good.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us, and another week in the books here. And, you know, here in Cleveland, we were kind of bummed out after 3 weeks, and the Browns were not playing well. The offense in particular looked pretty poor the first 3 weeks. There was a lot of criticism, including from us, around the league. This week, a different story. Were you surprised, maybe not that the Browns necessarily won, but the way in which they did so against the Ravens?
Yeah, I think most of us probably were, based on the first couple weeks. You know, I mean, they've had the talent, though. I mean, that's when you look at it. I think that's why all the hype in the offseason, because when you look at their roster, they have ability on both sides. So I think yesterday just shows the type of team that this group can be to be able to go into Baltimore, who's been a pretty fantastic football team up to this point, and pretty much shut them down on the defensive side. And then offensively, I really like what I saw as far as where this offense is going. I don't know if Nick Chubb gets enough praise throughout the league, but the kid is fantastic.
Yeah,
and he might just be your best offensive player. That's including Odell and Jarvis and everybody else that you have. So I really like that I saw, you know, Baker under center, utilizing some of the play-action stuff that they did even last year as they started kind of heating up with Freddie. It's just a good it's a good feeling as far as, you know, when you look at it and the teams that are there at the end of the year, what kind of formula do they have? It's teams that can run the football effectively, play good defense. They did that, and they have enough weapons in the backside. You know, Odell, even though he didn't have the production that you probably would have liked, when you look at it on film, he's attracting attention, and that's taking it away from other guys. And then so your tight ends are able to step up, your running game starts going. And I really like the formula that I saw from them yesterday.
David, did Baker Mayfield look different to you in this game as opposed to the last several weeks? I mean, obviously he was not good to start the season the first three games. He seemed like he left the pocket a lot more. In this game yesterday, it seemed like he played within himself, played within the pocket, trusted the offensive line. The offensive line did a pretty darn good job, I thought, protecting him all day.
It did.
But he looked different to me.
He did. You know, I mean, when I first saw Baker in the preseason, when he first got his opportunity, he had such great pocket presence. I was really kind of almost shocked by how good it was. You know, his first preseason game, he comes in, I remember breaking it down on the NFL Network that night, and he slid and he kept his eyes down the field, and he just had a fantastic feel for the things that were going on around him. And last week, it was kind of concerning because I started thinking, well, okay, I mean, this is natural. You start getting a lot of pressure. I've been there before. You tend to want to start moving to your right, escaping the pocket. I'll make something happen. I'm a good athlete. We'll figure it out. And that's almost like that's just the opposite of where you want to be as a quarterback. You want to really be able to trust the protection, stay in the pocket, move with a real sense of, I know where I'm going to go with this football. You know, I know I can get through my read progression in here. We don't necessarily have to try and force the issue outside. So that's why I think that I was so impressed by the offense yesterday, is because it went through the running game. And when you do that, you tend to have more clean lanes to throw the football. And obviously he felt comfortable enough to stay in the pocket and make those throws, and made some good throws. But I think it all kind of stems from the way Freddie put that offense together. And that's probably the biggest reason. Is I'm sure Baker heard the criticisms. I mean, you guys probably asked him, and you just kind of get tired of it. Like, okay, I'll stay in the pocket and make some plays this week. But that's one thing. But then to be able to go out there and just continually do it, that has to be a structure of an offense. And it has to be, you know, kind of what you guys do. You know, run the football first. I know what it's like, man. I mean, they got a lot of weapons outside. And Freddie is putting this all together. Like, I coach high school football, my son, on Friday nights. And our running back averages like 9 yards a carry. But I just find I have a hard time sometimes calling runs because I have a lot of good receivers. So it's like, I want to throw the football. And so, I mean, you got Odell, you got Jarvis. You know, you get all this hype, and you're like, well, I got to find a way to get these guys the ball, and you lose who you should be as far as an offensive play caller. And it should go through the run game. It should go through Chubb. and then everything else will just kind of be a byproduct off of that. And I think they found a nice little formula, and hopefully they can kind of keep it rolling and then start playing the way we all expected them to play.
We're talking with David Carr, former NFL quarterback, now an NFL Network analyst. You can see him tonight on NFL Network's NFL Total Access at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's a great point because coaches, you, Freddie, whoever it may be, are human beings just like the rest of us. We want to be excited, and in passing the ball is more sexy. It's more fun. It gets the crowd more fired up, right? So I can understand that, but you know, to the point of the running game was so successful, and that probably took some of the pressure, I'm guessing, off the offensive line and off of Baker Mayfield, because it had the defense obviously guessing a little more, and that made him a little more, I'm assuming that helped make him a little more comfortable in the pocket. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. And it is, you're right, absolutely. Human nature. Freddie played quarterback. And that also is human nature. As a quarterback, you want to get your guys involved. You don't want Odell to not have the touches because you know the type of player he is. You don't want Jarvis not to touch the football because you know what he can do with it in his hands. And so you tend to lean towards that instead of realizing that, okay, well, let's let Odell dictate coverage a little bit. Let's let them double-team him. And, oh, by the way, running to that side is now an easier proposition. And now that's going to open up everything else. And maybe Odell doesn't have the touches, but just the fact that he's out on the field, you can really utilize that as a play caller and get everything else going. And he's going to make his plays. He'll find a way to get the football to him, and he'll be creative enough. But that doesn't need to be your primary goal going into each week is how are we going to get Odell the football. Just by him being out on the field, you're making it easier on your offense because guys are just going to gravitate towards him and coverage. Because leave that to the defensive coordinators to stop him.
Right.
You just got to put him on the field. You know, so I think that was the really cool thing that I saw. And everything was just easier, you know. So I think that's going to be something they'll do going forward. And you can still be creative. Like, Freddie's going to find ways to move Odell around and get him the football and get him involved. Like I saw with Jarvis and him running the speed option off the sweep. I mean, that was cool. That was fun. But it's a safe play. It's pretty, you know, you put the ball in Jarvis's hands behind the line of scrimmage, and he's pretty good with it after the catch. So I think that, you know, there's just something that they're going to have to keep him from improving on, and they'll be fine.
You think his attitude would change, though, if the Browns start to lose games and he only has two catches in the game?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. You know, I mean, you have to – it's almost like obviously Odell wants to win, and he's been fantastic so far in Cleveland. There's no issues. I mean, he'll be happy as long as they're winning games. But it's natural with any playmaker. If you go out there and you struggle to move the ball when he's being utilized as a quote-unquote decoy – and he only has a couple touches, and you lose, well, that's going to be a different issue. And you would want it to be a different issue. And that's why I think the challenge is still there for Freddie, because, and for Baker, you know, as much as you want to do what you did yesterday, you still understand that you have a playmaker there that you need to be creative with. You can't just line him up on the outside. You have to utilize him like you did in different schemes and different ways and just be creative, but don't forget who you are. And who they are is what we saw yesterday. And that's how you're going to win games, especially on the road. I mean, that's fantastic. You talk about going into play in Baltimore. I mean, teams have struggled so far this year, and they're going to continue to struggle stopping that offense and playing good football there against a good defense. But don't forget who you are. But then at the same time, you know, still find ways to get the ball into Odell's hands and into Jarvis's hands. So I think they'll do that. Freddie's so far, he's done a good job of figuring that out. I think it's still early also. I mean, this isn't. He hasn't had a full year to even do this yet with these guys. This is a new team. This is a new vamped offense, revamped offense. They got a lot of pieces to kind of work through. And honestly, right now, at this point in the NFL season, we're just now into the regular season. As I look, I was talking to Daniel Jeremiah about this exact same thing this morning over here at the network, and it's like, you know, we just got through the preseason. We're pretty much ready to go. You're starting to see what teams are all about and who they're going to be. And so I think you'll start to see offensive football even picked up even more.
Speaking of what teams are all about, let's go to the you mentioned offense, but let's talk some defense because, you know, there was so much talk about, and us included, we talked so much about the Browns offense in the offseason. That was, again, sexy part of the team. But you look at this defense, and week one, they did not play a particularly good game against Tennessee. They didn't get a lot of help because Baker was throwing a lot of picks at the end of the game. But every game since then, they dominated. Okay, a bad Jets lineup with no Sam Darnold. Held the Rams to 20 last week when their offense was struggling. And then a Ravens offense that had been magnificent through three games gets basically completely shut down in this game yesterday. Even though they've been missing almost their entire secondary. The defense has got to get some love, don't they?
Well, I think when you look at your guys' defense from just a quarterback and a play caller's perspective, they make it increasingly difficult because they don't have to really put any extra bodies down at the line of scrimmage. And even with a team like the Baltimore Ravens, you know, you see teams go in there, and they got nine guys at the line of scrimmage. And honestly, with your front, you don't necessarily have to do that. And it's such a weapon to have. And that's really the secret to calling defense. If you can get into a position where you can rush four guys, regardless of run, pass, whatever it is, and stop the run up front with that, with a limited number of guys at the line of scrimmage, you can then dedicate more guys to the back end to really shutting down the offense as far as throwing the football. It's so difficult to play offensive football when you look out there and they're not adding extra guys to the line of scrimmage and they're still stopping your run. I can't tell you how frustrating that is. So from a Baltimore Ravens standpoint, having actually been with Greg Roman was in Houston with me. He first started off as a strength coach, obviously, and then now he was with the wide receivers, then he was with the quarterbacks, and then he's kind of made his progression. He wants to run the football. That's where it all starts. And when you're unable to really get that going, especially at the level that they've wanted to get it going at, and they're doing it with not even dedicating extra bodies to the line of scrimmage, it makes it difficult to throw the football, and it just makes for a really hard day. It's almost like, well, what can we do? You know, because yeah. Your front is so good. And Myles Garrett, I mean, I love his energy that he plays with. I think he's still learning the position. And you talk with guys like Willie McGinnis about him. He loves him. I mean, he absolutely loves the potential that is still there. That guy could have 20 sacks a year. I mean, so that's one of the things that it's fun to watch. I mean, obviously, as a quarterback, I don't like defensive linemen, but I do respect what you guys have going on in Cleveland.
David, now let me ask you about this. This is maybe touchy because he's one of your brother's teammates, but Vontaze Burfict has been suspended for the season for that vicious hit. He's got a history of these hits going
14
incidents apparently. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
And he's suspended for the year. Is this a situation where the league should potentially ban him for life?
It's tough, man. I understand. And now, you know, obviously I want him on the field because he's a Raider. So there's that element of it. So when I'll say that to begin with, because, you know, the comments afterwards could be swayed a little way. But I think that Vontaze obviously plays the game a certain way, and he's done this for a long time. And you definitely have to look at it from an NFL standpoint and say, okay, was this malicious? Did he really intend? And you could see when you look at the tape, he obviously is coming in with his helmet. He does hit Doyle. You know, you talk to Doyle, and he's like, I didn't even feel it. My helmet protected me. Well, he's just fortunate because we've seen that go the other way a lot of times as well. So, you know, the only problem I have with it is if it is going to be a year suspension, I saw Odell Beckham Jr. get choked out on the field yesterday. I don't see any suspension happening there. I saw Josh Allen, a quarterback in a Patriots game, get hit very similar to the way that Vontaze Burfict hit Doyle. No penalty, no suspension. I saw multiple plays. I saw Marcus Peters running an interception back, and Smith in the end zone hits him right in the head and knocks Marcus Peters completely out of the game, and no suspension, no fine. So the only problem I have with that is if we're going to do this to Vontaze, where are the other ones? So that's the issue I have, and I understand he has a history.
Yeah.
So that has to be discussed. The NFLPA is going to look at it. They're not going to let a guy just get suspended for a year and do nothing. There'll be an appeal. It'll probably happen tomorrow, and we'll see what happens from that. But let's just make sure it's consistent.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that I have to say about it.
I agree with you, David. I do think it is a different story because he has so many incidents, and I think, you know, you fail a drug test once, you don't get the same penalty for failing a drug test, you know, the 14th
Absolutely.
Time. But anyway, you know, other things around the league here. You look at the rest of this division, you know, the Ravens have lost their last two. The Steelers are playing the Bengals tonight. Both teams are 0-3. We're used to that, not as much recently with the Bengals, but in the past. But we're not used to that with the Steelers. Obviously, you know, going forward here the rest of the season, can the Steelers be competitive with Mason Rudolph at quarterback?
Yeah, I don't really even think that Mason's the biggest issue that they have.
Okay.
Honestly, I think that when you look at that entire team, and I like to just look at it from a matchup standpoint. And if I'm calling defense against this team, or if I'm on the other side, if I'm calling offense against a certain defensive opponent, you know, where do they scare me? What do they do? Like, what do they have that makes me change what I do on defense? And when you sit in your staff room, And when I look at them, Juju Smith, even though he is quote-unquote the number one guy in Pittsburgh, there's nothing about what he does that makes me say, well, I got to make sure I'm playing cover two to his side, or I got to make sure if we're bailing at the cornerback position, I have a guy running underneath, albeit a linebacker or a safety. We have to make sure we account for where he is at all times. It doesn't do that. And James Conner, same thing. He's not Le'Veon Bell. There's nothing where if James Conner motions out of the backfield, I don't have to put a corner on him. I don't have to put a good cover guy on him. You know, you watch Kansas City play, or you watch the Saints last night, and when Alvin Kamara goes out at wide receiver, number one corners find him, whether he's in the slot. That's not the case with James. So from a defensive perspective, they don't scare me. I can line up and just play base defense against them, and I can kind of get aggressive with them, and it doesn't really matter who matches up with Juju. It doesn't really matter where James Conner is. I don't have to put another guy in the box. So I think that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are fantastic football players. Say what you want about what they do off the field. And obviously, I have some issues with Antonio Brown because of what happened in Oakland. But make no mistake, when he's on the field, you have to know where he is. You got to double team him. And then when Le'Veon Bell is on the field, you got to put another guy down in the box. So it makes playing offensive football way easier. And when you don't have that, you don't have that threat anymore. You're just not a team that doesn't play very good defense. Now, Mike Tomlin's going to – the issue that he has going forward is the defense. You're a defensive coach. Now, because your offense isn't going to be as explosive, a lot of focus and a lot of attention is going to be on what you do on the defensive side of the ball, especially that secondary. I know you bring in Minkah Fitzpatrick, and hopefully he'll help, but, I mean, that's something that you really got to be concerned about if you're the Steelers, because you just don't have the threat that most good teams have of winning a football game with one or two players. You just don't have those guys. I mean, not that Juju's a bad player, not that James Conner's a bad player. They're just not elite-level players like Antonio and Le'Veon.
Hey, David, last thing for me. The Browns travel to San Francisco on Monday night next week, and the Niners are off a bye week. They're 3-0. Garoppolo's playing well. Yep. The whole team's playing pretty well. Are they legit, and how concerned should we be as Browns fans?
I think they're legit for a lot of the same reasons that you guys are legit. I think if you look at their defensive front, it plays really well. If you guys want to go Cleveland, go in, run the football. It's very similar stylistically. They might do it a different way. Freddie might be different than what Kyle does as far as his run game and how he approaches it. But I think that you're trying to do the same things. You're trying to run the football and play good defense. I think the Browns have more weapons on the outside, and you can take advantage of that. You got to be careful that you don't just completely abandon the run, because San Francisco is not a team that you just want to get into a drop back pass game with, because that defensive front's pretty good. And then when Cleveland's on defense and the 49ers are on the offensive side, the zone run scheme, the nice thing that Cleveland has going for them is just kind of the same reasons that they were able to really slow down Baltimore, is they can stop the front. They can stop the run, with just their base up front. You don't have to put another guy down there and worry about that. So you can play a little bit more conservatively on the back end, because what Kyle Shanahan likes to do is really get that run game going, move the pocket, and then create just huge open lanes for the receivers and the tight ends, and on some special trickery plays that you really take advantage of when you get that extra guy down there and you start, okay, we got to play some man coverage. We got to, put the eighth guy down in the box or the ninth guy down there, and you really hone in to stop that zone run, and then that's when they hit you for the big one. But if you don't necessarily have to be in that position, you can play pretty good against them. So I think that the onus is going to be on the defensive line, obviously going out there to play for Cleveland. And then on the offensive side of the ball, utilize your weapons that you have on the outside. Obviously, make sure that they cover down, make sure San Francisco respects who you have out there. But you don't have to get away from the run. You can still do what you did. I think that it's not a bad matchup. It'll be a great game. I think it'll be a really good football game, too. I think the matchup-wise, stylistically, is really good. So it'll be fun to watch.
David, last thing, and we appreciate the time. I want to take you back to October 20th, 2002. It was the sixth game of your NFL career, and you were playing the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. And it was, I believe, the only time you ever matched up against Tim Couch in the NFL. Is that correct?
I think so.
You can recall. So I was wondering. You referenced from experience about taking quarterback hits. Obviously, you took an absurd amount of sacks early in your career, and certainly you know, was a factor in your career. Same thing for Tim Couch. Yeah. You had to deal with that here in Cleveland. I wonder now, you know, when you played against him in 2002, obviously he'd been in the league a few years. I wondered if he, you know, when you guys talk, usually the quarterbacks talk after the game or before whatever, did he give you some advice? Yeah. Did you guys connect in that way because of having to deal with what you both had to deal with in a similar way?
Yeah, I remember chatting before the game like most quarterbacks do, but we didn't really discuss that. I think we were both in survival mode at that time.
Yeah,
honestly, I'm in there and I'm probably 30 sacks deep by week six because we had a rough one against the Chargers. I think week two I might have gotten sacked 9 or 10 times, but I mean, there's a mutual respect there. Everyone that's gone out and played the quarterback position, it's funny when you have any small conversation, it feels like you're in this brotherhood that's just unmatched, and you guys know what each other has gone through. So there's a mutual respect there. I respect every guy that's ever tried to play quarterback.
Sure.
It's not easy. I've told my wife all the time, and we'll go out, and I remember I went snowboarding with her for the first time, and I figured it out, and I was able to go down the hill, and I'm like, yeah, but see, I mean, quarterback's hard. I've been doing that my whole life, and we still can't figure it out. So there's certain things that you can just do naturally, but there's certain things like quarterback, it demands – all 11. It demands the perfect storm, the right coaching staff, the right offensive line, and it's just it's a very difficult proposition. But that's why Tom Coughlin used to always say it's the most amazing team sport ever invented, because it requires everybody. It requires a coaching staff, everyone on the field. You're only as good as the worst player on your field at that time. So it's a fun game, but it's very difficult. So I understand what Tim went through.
Yeah,
went through the same thing. So yeah, but he's. He's a good football player. I mean, that's the hard part is, like, you get in the NFL and guys get knocked around and things don't go their way, and then all of a sudden they're just bad football players. Like, this guy is a fantastic football player, and he was his entire life.
Yeah.
So it's just he's probably the best football player on the field at every level he was ever on until he got to the NFL. And then for whatever reason, I mean, when you're playing against the best in the world, it tends to humble you really quick.
Check out former NFL quarterback David Carr, now an analyst for NFL Network. You can see him tonight on NFL Network's NFL Total Access starting at 7 p.m. David, you gave us so much time. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, fellas. Have a good one.